slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Ooh. Good morning, Reading. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you are listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR. Well, I'd like to thank the folks who took over my show for 2 weeks. They did an outstanding job, and I hope you learned some neat things when I went back and listened to the podcasts of the shows. I certainly did. Today makes my 19th year in practice, and boy, every year you learn so much more about the human race, and there's truly no substitute for experience. So the more you have in life, I just don't see how it hurts. Even though I had time off, I certainly didn't get a chance to clean out my car. So, you know, maybe next time I take a break. So in the meantime, I just keep hauling around all sorts of weird stuff. Next week, we have author Susan Hilliard. If you were part of the 1970s food movement, she wrote a book. She was a part of a group of authors who wrote a book called The Deaf Smith Country Cookbook, and it was a sponsored book through Arrowhead Mills out of Texas. And you know, there were probably about 5 cookbooks that were life changing, and some of us, you know, we got those in our hands when we were really young, and we were very dangerous, and so we just started cooking when we were about 10 and 11, 12, and being raised on a hill in Old Shasta with no television, we did a lot of weird food experimentation. And so one of the things, you know, we're going to interview Susan Hilliard, and my sister, Tori Pratt, will be a guest, and we'll kind of talk about food, the foods we started making back in the day. And there were just weird 70s fads that, you know, I think sprouts were on everything. We put brewer's yeast in just about anything. It was pretty tough on the digestive tract, and you know, it was an odd time. And some of those interesting foods, they really did hold. You know, sort of the search for real food, and then flavors started improving, and there was less of a penalty for eating health food. And so we're gonna reminisce a little bit, and we're gonna talk about sort of the future of food. And I'm gonna read the preface of the book to you. Yes, it's very short; it's not long, and it looks like maybe there. Their reasons for producing that book were similar to maybe what we're going through now as a whole foods movement of trying to get people eating real food and getting people off of processed foods, synthetic foods, colorings, all the preservatives, the hormones, the antibiotics. And so getting back to food that the body can identify, you know, it just makes sense to me. And so today's guest is Scott Mobley from the Record Searchlight. And, you know, we know that the weather affects us, and most of us get up every morning and we just go out and we look around a little bit. What's today going to bring? And then we probably go to the internet and we figure out what the temperature will be. And it affects a lot of our choices, a lot of our decisions. It affects a lot of our attitude, especially in the winter. And Scott Mobley from the Record Searchlight is a weather expert, and he commutes on his bicycle. And so, you know, that's something that if we were all in Chico right now, it would be nothing to just hop on our bikes and we'd go someplace. But here in Reading, we just, you know, that 70 miles from Reading to Chico, a lot of things change. And you know, commuting on your bike just is not that popular. And so, you know, he's been here for 10 years in Reading, and he's a diehard, and we have a lot of questions to ask him about commuting. And so before we go there, though, you know, here in the midst of our recession, people are opening businesses, and one business that has opened is Shasta Natural Foods. And in the studio today, we have Joy Benson and her son, Cliff Benson. You're Cliff Benson, right? Yes. And they've opened a new business. Welcome, you two. I'm going to have you speak right there, yeah.
Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah, welcome. And can you tell us, Cliff, a little bit about your business?
Well, Shasta Natural Foods is an all-natural and organic home food delivery service.
Okay.
So what we do is we actually come out and we deliver all-natural and organic foods, just like it sounds. The neat thing about what we do, though, is we can actually provide the natural organic foods at a competitive price to what people are currently paying in the grocery store system.
Hmm. Okay, so we know we've got a lot of groups out delivering vegetables, but you've taken it a step further. What exactly are you guys delivering?
We have. We actually went from just not only vegetables to meats, beef, chicken, pork, fish, buffalo, lamb, big variety of meats. We also have vegetables, fruits, juices. We can just really kind of round out everything. We're looking at even getting into some organic pasta lines right now as well.
Wow. Well, you know what? In radio, we take little breaks here and there, and we're going to go there now. And so this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back after this.
If you're looking for natural remedies for your health problems, look no further. East Earth Tradewinds, Reading's most complete herb store, has hundreds of Chinese herbs, books, essential oils, and more. You can also make appointments for acupuncture treatment or oriental therapeutic massage. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Visit us at 144 Hartnell Avenue in the south end of the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center. That's East Earth Tradewinds, 144 Hartnell Avenue in Reading.
Are you a hunter? Do you just like to shoot? Join the revolution. Are you tired of being ignored and dealing with the my way or the highway attitude? Join the revolution. Come check out Bastiani Arms. They have a great selection of guns and accessories, and if you want something they don't have on the shelf, they'll be more than happy to track down what you're looking for and order it. That's what the revolution is all about. It's making sure you, the customer, get the respect you deserve and the product you're looking for. Bastiani Arms has a surplus of ammo on sale, only $12.99 for 20 packs of .308 ammo and $112.99 for a 200-round case. Hurry into Bastiani Arms. From guns to ammunition, full-service gunsmithing, hunter's education, and now concealed carry and renewal classes. You can get it all in just one stop at Bastiani Arms. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larchfer Lane, Reading, or call 222-8222.
Nothing's funny about gout flares, though they can make you walk funny or sport that hilarious open-toed sneaker of yours. Those are serious attempts to live with gout flares. But why live with them? Visit gout.com and ask your doctor for better ways to fight flares over time by reducing the high uric acid that causes them. Because even though flares aren't funny, it is silly to put up with more of them than you have to. Gout.com, now updated with more information to help you fight for fewer flares.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Hi, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Before we get to our main guest, we're talking to Cliff and Joy Benson of Shasta Natural Foods. Welcome back, you two.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you're telling us that you have a delivery service that you're delivering every kind of meat, what else? Vegetables?
Meats, vegetables, fruits, juices, just a real big variety of products that we can provide to our customers.
Okay, and how is it that you're different than our other delivery services?
The thing that really sets us apart is we're more into the meats and more of your, I would say almost your more expensive things at the grocery stores. Because that's what costs a bunch. I mean, you go to the grocery store, try to buy organic or natural ground beef. Gosh, it's $6 a pound. That's outrageous, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering on the wholesale level, the stuff's still like $3 a pound for the same product. It shouldn't be marked up that much in the retail system, I don't think.
Okay.
But that's just a personal opinion.
So you're trying to save folks a little bit of money,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to bring it to their door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what kind of delivery? Are you doing a monthly delivery? Tell us how you do your deliveries.
It is. The really neat thing about our program here is we actually bring out all the food at once. And so we bring out a nice monthly supply of food. We actually bring out about 5-6 months worth. But our customers don't pay for it all up front. They pay for it monthly. Now, the neat thing about this is it allows us to get them a good deal on their product, cut out a lot of that overhead that the grocery stores have, and therefore sell it cheaper than they could buy the natural and organic foods in the retail system.
Now, why hasn't anybody thought of this?
You know,
we were waiting for you.
They were waiting for us,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so how do they get a hold of you?
You know, they can just give us a call. Our number is 222-0330. Locally, or they can reach us on our website. It's www.shastanaturalfoods.com.
Okay, so right now then, what percentage would people expect to pay below retail? Like 5%
or
10%?
Oh, gosh, the average family of four right now is spending between $600 to $700 a month in the grocery stores, we can feed a family of four for around $300 a month.
Now that's not feeding them completely. That is your fruits and your what we're talking about is your meat mainly here.
Okay.
Meats, fruit, vegetables, juices, all those things. You're still going to have to get some of your staple items. You're still going to have to get your milk, bread, eggs, cheese. So the average family typically spends about $100 to $150 in addition to our program, but that's still a savings over the retail system.
Sure. Okay. Gosh, well, that sounds great. Now, do you have plans to expand into some of these other dry goods? Or?
Not right now. It's something maybe in the future we would get into, but at the current point in time, we're just really kind of focused on providing your main products, your meats, your vegetables, your fruits, and getting those at a reduced cost to our customers.
Okay, so they can go to your website, they can see what they can order. Let's say I want to order tomorrow. I can go to your website, see what to order.
No.
There's a menu of
They can
options.
See a little bit about our products and what we offer online.
Okay.
But the best thing to do is just give us a call. We'll have one of our sales reps come out, sit down, show everything we offer, and even give you a couple free sample steaks just for your time.
Okay, so you actually want to come in the house and sit there with someone and go through your list of products. Is that
definitely.
Okay. Well, boy, that's very thorough and complete.
Because
go ahead.
Because they are ordering for 5 to 6 months at a time, so therefore they're going to need to go over a list of foods of what they want.
Okay. And who are your suppliers?
We deal with a lot of different companies. For example, our beef, we use Painted Hills Natural Beef, and it's just really your high line of beef. One of the neat things about Painted Hills is what they have what's called the Never Ever program. So it's never had any hormones, never any steroids, antibiotics, anything. And the neat thing that they do is, well, of course, they have a big herd of cattle. And out of 100 cattle, typically 10, 20 of them will get sick. This just happens. Now, when those ones do get sick, sure, they're going to help them out. They're going to help them get well. And if they have to do antibiotics, they will. But they separate those off from the herd. They sell them separately than what we buy. And so it just allows us to really offer our customers a premium product that you can't really find in the retail system at all anymore.
Wow, great. Now, I don't remember where Painted Hills was from.
Painted Hills is in Oregon.
Oregon, okay, that's right, that's great. Okay, and who else do you have that you are
For our chicken, we use Mary's Free Range Chicken, which are down by Fresno. Really, really good organic free range chicken. We've used some different chicken suppliers in the past, and we ended up going with them just because it's really the premium product that you can get in California for organic chicken.
And how many customers do you have? I know you just started.
Oh, gosh. We've got a handful of customers, and we're building all the time.
Good.
And it's just getting up
just
and going,
getting
and we're always looking for more. So.
Wow. Well, best of luck to you. I appreciate you coming on today. And go ahead and give our listeners, again, your phone number and your website.
Yeah, our phone number is 530-222-0330. And our website is www.shastanaturalfoods.com.
Well, it sounds like an excellent adventure, and thanks for coming on, Cliff. Enjoy.
Thank you, Trudy.
All right. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're taking a break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at Lazy69Ranch.com.
Hi, this is Carl with the Around the House radio show. Did you hear that Around the House has moved? That's right. You can now listen to us every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. We still have all the great guests and information we've always had with a few additions. Each week, we will not only discuss home improvement tips and advice, but also have some local sports and garage talk for you as well. So be sure to tune in to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 for Around the House Radio, where the advice is always free.
Where do you go when you want to buy that timeless piece of jewelry? Where do you go when you need an honest, reliable opinion from a trustworthy jeweler? Four Winds Jewelry. Whether selling your gold, redesigning older jewelry pieces, buying that special stone for your wedding ring, or consulting with an expert in estate jewelry, Four Winds Jewelry is the place to go. With over 40 years in business, your friends at Four Winds Jewelry know you deserve the best. And Four Winds Jewelry has traveled around the world, developing relationships to bring you the best quality in diamonds and loose stones. And you need a jeweler you can trust. at prices you can afford. And Four Winds Jewelry also has the only on-site watchmaker and repairman specializing in high-end watches. Come in and see us at Four Winds Jewelry, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading, across from C.R. Gibbs. Open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. For private appointments, call 222-2750. That's Four Winds Jewelry.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Hey, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Well, our guest today is Scott Mobley from the Record Searchlight, and welcome, Scott.
Thank you, Trudy. Thanks for having me on the
show. Nice to have you on. And our guest host today is Mark Beecham, also with a Record Searchlight past and a current columnist. So, Scott, you know, we had a conversation, or kind of the three of us through email, about humidity a little while ago here in July. And we had those funny July dew point temperatures that it was just a whole new kind of wrinkle in my brain there. And, you know, so we had a little bit of humidity. And how often does that happen?
Well, you know, Reading is renowned for its dry heat, so it doesn't happen very often. So right now, actually, it's a little bit more humid than usual, and you'll notice it's also hazier than usual. But that July episode was very unusual. I'd say that happens maybe once or twice a year at the most.
Well, now, does it usually last quite as long as it did, or I don't know? It seemed like, you know, it seemed like the first time. You know, everything is so dramatic with weather. It's like,
You know, maybe a few days. That sometimes coincides too with thunderstorms in the mountains. It's the same pattern that can produce the thunderstorms in the mountains, which, you know, creates all the lightning and fire concerns.
Yeah, Scott, you talked a little bit about the idea of, you know, humidity, which is what people look at. They look at the humidity ratio or percentage on the government NOAA Weather Service website or whatever. But you steered me toward the dew point as a more accurate reflection of the actual moisture in the air over the course of the day. Could you explain the difference between humidity and dew point, and what people ought to be looking for at dew point? What's high? What's low dew point?
Sure. Actually, both humidity and dew point do talk about the amount of moisture in the air. But the relative humidity, which, you know, you see that word humidity, you think, oh, that's the humidity. What that actually means is how close the air is to saturation, whereas the dew point is a measure of the absolute amount of moisture in the air. So it's possible that the relative humidity could be rather low, like maybe 20%. And you're like, wow, you know, it feels really gross out there. What the heck is going on? And then you look at the dew point temperature, like back in July, it was like in the high 50s, low 60s in the middle of the day. That is very, very unusual for Reading. So if you're just to look at the relative humidity, you wouldn't really have a clue what's going on. Whereas the dew point temperature, we were getting that subtropical air, it was very moist, and the dew point temperature was very high. Now, there are places like New Orleans. I looked at New Orleans today. Dew point of 79 degrees and a relative humidity of 74%. That is heavy. That
Ooh.
Is very, very heavy.
Wow.
So when you have both high relative humidity and high dew point, you're going to have some really thick air.
So on a day, an average typical day in Reading in July or August, what would be the humidity and dew point?
It
changes during the course of the day.
Yes, it does. Yeah, the relative humidity, as the name implies, is relative, you know, to the temperature, whereas the dew point is more constant. I mean, the dew point does fluctuate, but I would say in the summer it's between 30 and 40 degrees, the dew point, and the relative humidity can be anywhere from like 60 to 70% in the very early morning when it's cool, down to maybe 10% in the afternoon. But that dew point temperature doesn't fluctuate as much, so like I said before, you could have a relative humidity like maybe 10-15%, and a dew point, you know, up in the high 50s at 3 in the afternoon, and that air is going to feel pretty gnarly for Reading, because we're not used to that. We're used to low dew point, low relative humidity.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to ask about the about weather in general, and we got a lot of questions about weather, is Redding got some notoriety a few years ago through the Chamber of Commerce, maybe, I don't know who, suggesting that we were the second sunniest city. That's alliterative, isn't it? Second sunniest city in the country, right?
Yeah, behind Yuma, Arizona.
Right, or and that just struck me, you know, as insane. I mean, we're sunnier than Palm Springs, we're sunnier than Death Valley, and you were going to correct us on that, I think, right?
Well, yeah. Supposedly, Redding gets 88% of the possible sunshine, and anybody who's spent a winter up here knows that that is not very likely. Now, Yuma, Arizona gets like maybe 92%, and we're always said, well, we're the second sunniest next to Yuma, Arizona. Yuma, Arizona gets a tenth of the precipitation that Redding gets, and Yuma is in the Sonora Desert in Arizona. And so a lot of the precipitation comes in these tremendous cloud bursts, whereas, you know, in Redding, it can rain for days and days on end. So that precipitation builds up very slowly sometimes. So it just doesn't make any sense that we would be the second sunniest city behind Yuma, Arizona. I think there's some kind of glitch in the equipment that they use to measure sunshine. And actually, Chris Fontana, who's the weather forecaster who was in charge of the that program back in the late 80s, early 90s when that was done, said that that little sunshine measure would work even when it was overcast. And so he discontinued it.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's bogus. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it's crazy. The other thing about rain in Redding, we get about, what, between 36 and 40 inches of rain on
or
average?
Up to 50, depending on what part of town you're in.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. Talk a little bit about the topography of town and how it varies, you know, from, you know, out at the airport where they that's the official place to measure rainfall versus someplace in West Redding, and how that has changed over time since we've moved the gauges, I guess.
Yeah, well, there's an interesting story behind the reason why the gauges were moved is because Redding not only, you know, has a reputation of being a very sunny city, but also one of the most temperate cities at this latitude, and it's because the temperature sensor was in the thermal belt kind of near downtown. And so, I guess, the story goes, people flocked here to grow citrus. And, you know, they wanted to do larger-scale citrus. Where are they going to go? Out in Palisadro, where it's a lot colder in the winter because of the cold air drainage, and it's much lower. It's like a couple hundred feet lower, maybe 300 feet, well, a couple hundred feet lower than downtown. So people said, what the heck? It's freezing out here all the time. I've lost my crop again. And so they decided to move the thermometer lower and farther out to reflect those conditions out towards Palisadro.
Okay.
To give a more accurate gauge. But at that point, then we lose the rainfall. Because as soon as you know, the thing about the topography here, it's kind of wired in where you've got that, you know, the foothills of the mountains to the west are more or less perpendicular or somewhat, at least obliquely perpendicular to the storm winds, the precipitation bearing winds. And so when the winds hit that barrier, they collide, and then the air is forced up, and then that enhances the rainfall. So we have a very pronounced difference in just a few miles of rainfall. In fact, where I live in Parkview, I believe that's a little bit of a rain shadow. Even a quarter mile north in the Garden Tract, I think they get substantially more rain there because they're, you know, those downbursts that happen when the winds collide with that ridge tend to hit that area and skip Parkview because of the rain shadowing. And so you just have these tremendous differences that are hardwired in to the Redding climate because of the topography. Those mountains aren't moving, obviously, not in our lifetime.
Well, given the fact that these gauges have moved from downtown out to the airport, it must make it really hard for you, who writes about Redding, to look at historical numbers and compare historical numbers because there'd be so many asterisks associated to them, right?
Yes. In fact, whenever you speak of records, either temperature or precipitation, you have to have the asterisks, you know, did this occur at the airport or did this occur downtown? Because it's almost like they're different climates, really. the downtown temperatures are higher overnight because it's in the thermal belt than the airport, and the precipitation on average is, I'd say, 10 inches more downtown than at the airport.
Wow.
But downtown is the official weather station for Reading now.
No, the airport.
Airport is. Yes. It's the official weather station.
Yes, okay. The airport's the official weather station. It's been the case since 1986.
And so if the weather station out at the airport gets 36 inches of rain, actually in West Reading we may be getting 10 inches more than that, perhaps.
Yeah. The airport, it's 35 or 36. In downtown West Reading, say Fire Station 2, probably around 45, maybe a little higher.
Okay, this is what I know, that my house in West Reading is for sale. Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll be right back after these messages.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Everyone's lifestyle is different, and it's important to find a vision correction method that fits. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund. I referred Dan London to Dr. Leonard Newman for a LASIK procedure. Now he enjoys the freedom to live an active lifestyle without the complications of contacts or glasses.
LASIK has helped me because I love not wearing contacts. I do a lot of outdoor sports. I'm a fly fisherman and a kayaker. And having contacts on your eyes when you're outside is problematic because the air dries them out and it's not good. And so having the LASIK lets me do all of my sports and activities without having to wear contacts or glasses. Based upon my experience, I would recommend Dr. Eklund and Dr. Newman to anyone who is seriously considering LASIK surgery.
To see if LASIK vision correction is right for you, call Nancy Eklund Eye Care at 223-4300.
Hello, this is Chef Cal, and I'd like to personally invite you to taste, see, and experience Rivers Restaurant. Our desire at Rivers is to always offer fresh and delicious food at affordable prices in a relaxing atmosphere. We are located in the former Hatch Cover location with a fantastic view of the Sacramento River and surrounding mountains. Our menus and daily specials can be viewed at our website or by signing up to become a friend on Facebook. Our website additionally offers information on many of the special amenities, including our early happy hour specials Monday through Saturday from 4 to 6:30 and our late happy hour beginning at 8 p.m., where you can come in and enjoy a delicious pair of our famous fish tacos or our new barbecued deep pit pulled pork pizza. And all our lounge appetizers are half price during happy hour with live entertainment being offered every Friday and Saturday night. So come to Rivers and be reminded of the beautiful area we live in, from high atop the bluffs over the Sacramento River, from our shaded and mist-cooled patio. Rivers Restaurant serves dinner Monday through Saturday from 5 p.m. Reservations are always appreciated and can be made by calling 223-5606 and can now be made online at riversrestaurant.net.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun.
Oh, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show Positively Healthy here on KCNR, and we're talking to Record Searchlight weather expert Scott Mobley, and, you know, he just taught us that, boy, there is at least a minimum of a 10-inch difference in our rainfall in West Reading versus where he lives in the Parkview area and out at the airport, so both of those areas get very little rain. I just think that's fascinating that's what, a mile away? That's just really interesting with our topography. You know, you can start choosing your favorite weather patterns here. We haven't really sold Reading that way, but maybe we can. That's maybe another thing realtors should look at. Hey, as we come back from the break here, I wanted to catch up with, you know, for our listeners, how did you get so excited about weather?
Well, like many people who are interested in weather, it happens around age 10 or 11. I don't know why, but everybody has a tornado story or a hurricane story, and I don't. I grew up in California. So I just happen to actually, I like the rain. I don't like being out in it, but, you know, to hear it on the roof and to see it from, you know, indoors, I really always liked that. And so I'd want to know when it was going to rain and how much and then, you know, why was it raining? And so that's what got me interested in it. I've been interested in weather since, like I was, 10 or 11. And I wanted to study it, but unfortunately, to actually study weather, you have to be a good math, and I was terrible in math, just, you know. So I never actually pursued my interest scientifically. I always did it as a hobby, and continue to this day to do it as a hobby. I mean, I am actually now at this late stage of my life trying to learn the math so I can learn the science, because I'm that interested in it, and I'm enjoying the math now. But, you know, it's a little bit too late to make a career out of it.
Well, we love the fact that you are our town expert, you know. So what all are you writing for the paper, so when people hear your name, they can associate it with your articles?
Well, I cover Reading City Hall. So I write about everything, you know, that happens at City Hall as far as you know, the government process and what they do and what they decide and how they decide it, why they decide it, what are the constraints, what are the budgets, you know, and of course the politics. And the interest in Reading City Hall is intense, you know, the spending priorities, the salaries, the I should say the compensation for the employees, the number of managers in RU has become something that's interested some people. You know, why do they have so many managers? That's something that we're going to be looking into. I mean, they are an electric utility, so the managers cover different aspects like distribution and power purchases and things like that. So, you know, the city of Reading has a lot of different aspects, you know. It has many agencies within it. The redevelopment agency is actually legally separate, you know, from the city. You know, it's got its own budget. You know, RABA, even though that's a multi-jurisdictional agency, is still kind of under the aegis of Reading. So there's a lot to cover there.
I see, yeah. Well, we will be looking forward to your feedback here on all of this. Mark?
Yeah, back to weather, away from City Hall for a second. Could you share with the readers the all-time high temperature in Reading and the all-time low temperature? Do you know that offhand, roughly?
Yeah.
Not the date, necessarily, but whatever.
Well, I know.
You know the date, too,
I know,
right?
The dates, too.
Right.
I'm not much of a geek, but, you know, Reading actually has hit 118 degrees three times. The first time was in August of 1971, and the second time was in August of 1981, and the third time was in July of 1988. Now, there has been some question, because the technology for measuring temperature has changed, and I can't off the top of my head say exactly what's changed, but it's different, and it's generally acknowledged that there's kind of a cool bias. And so Chris Fontana, who's, you know, kind of the dean of weather experts in Reading, believes that on June 25th of 2006, when Reading hit 117 degrees, it was actually 119 degrees, which would be a new all-time high. And that day, by the way, had a very high dew point temperature, too. I don't know if you remember that, but it was just ferocious heat. It was just unbelievable. First time I ever went outside, I said, yow, I am not going to be out here. But anyway, there was another thermometer at the Reading airport that used the old technology, the same technology that was used when those other records were recorded, that recorded 119 degrees that day. But officially, it was 117 degrees, and the 118-degree record stands.
How about coldest temperature?
The coldest. Well, you know, it just so happens that this past December, I forget the exact date, but we hit 16 degrees, and that is the coldest temperature on record in Reading.
Wow.
So we've just less than a year ago, we set a new record low.
It was the date my lemon tree died.
Yeah, some of the citrus made it, and some didn't. Boy, oh boy.
That's the date I found out I didn't have enough antifreeze in my Jeep.
Scott, do you have a weather station at your house? Or what kind of equipment do you have, if any?
You know, I don't have a weather station. I don't. The property we live on is small and kind of hemmed in, you know, very close, kind of dense, and there really isn't a place to put one. So I don't have a weather station. But if I did,
yes,
I'd probably have a Davis Instrument, you know, wireless station.
And how much would that cost if someone, one of the listeners was interested in buying?
Well, it depends upon how many bells and whistles you want.
Lots of bells and whistles.
I think they're 500 to, I don't know, I mean, if you get, well, let's just say 500, but I think they start around that, or maybe 450, whatever. They're expensive.
And why would you have one of these things if except just as a hobby? I mean, are you trying to do, would you use one to try to predict the weather or just to look at what's going on outside before you get on your bike and try to commute to work?
Yeah, I would use it mainly for observations. And you know, you can use the observations, you know, to study climate and climatology. But as far as predicting the weather, you're not really going to be able to predict the weather much farther than six, seven, 8 hours in advance with one of those things.
Well, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Scott Mobley info right after this.
Napa Auto Parts in East Reading has moved to their new, bigger, and better location on Churn Creek Road across from the post office in the former Franklin Auto Parts building. More parts, more selection, and more savings. Napa Conventional Motor Oil, just $2.19 a quart. Mobile One Synthetic Oil, just $5.79 a quart. And lots of summer car care products on sale now. Get the good stuff and save this month at Napa, your locally owned, nationally known auto parts store. Get the good stuff!
Attention all personnel. Be a part of North State Theatrical History as WE Multimedia in conjunction with Westside Performing Arts presents the play MASH. And you can be in it. Auditions will be held August 23rd and 24th from 6 to 9 p.m. at McLaughlin Theater in downtown Reading. All your favorite characters are here. Join Hawkeye, Trapper, Hot Lips, Henry Blake, and Radar in this hilarious comedy that will leave the entire family in stitches. For more information, call 247-1925 or on the web at WEMultimedia.com. That is all.
Most people have a closet or drawer full of precious memories that are being lost day by day. Photos, slides, records, audio and video cassettes, they're all slowly fading away due to deterioration of the media they're recorded on. Belongi Entertainment Enterprises offers digital archiving services for all types of visual and audio media. Properly stored optical discs such as DVDs and CDs will last for decades and can be used to make perfect copies for family and friends. Find out more at Belongi Entertainment Enterprises, 223-3515.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farad, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue skies.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR. Our guest in the studio is Scott Mobley from Record Searchlight, and we're talking weather, and we're getting ready to talk bicycling, commuting. And, you know, Scott, during the break, I was confessing that when people heard you were coming on my show, their pressing question was whether or not on a hot day in Reading we can fry an egg. And, you know, I just wanted to pass that to you. I know we talked about it during the break, and your answer was pretty much that what?
Well, I don't know.
That's okay.
I haven't tried it personally. And I wouldn't want to fry an egg on the pavement. It would be kind of pepper you wouldn't want.
But, special sauce that you're...
Yeah, special. But the pavement... you know, especially like black asphalt, gets much hotter than the air temperature because it's absorbing all that heat and, you know, absorbing it much faster than it can radiate it out. And so let's put it this way. Even though I've never tried it and I've never seen it happen, it wouldn't surprise me that if on a really hot day over 115 degrees that you could.
Okay, listeners, we're putting it to you, and I'm certainly going to try it. It may not be 115 if we don't hit those temperatures, which I hope we don't, but, you know, a nice... 110. I'm going out there with an egg.
Scott, could you describe to the listeners the typical or average weather patterns that we would see in the winter and in the summer, like on a day like today, where the weather goes, you know, hardly changes from day to day for maybe several weeks at a time? What is the weather pattern that sets up that causes that, and likewise in the wintertime?
Well, actually, at all times of the year, this is something about the West Coast. the West Coast tends to really lock into certain patterns. And so when it gets wet, especially in a wet winter, it'll be wet for weeks on end. And then we'll have a dry spell of several weeks, even in the winter, even in the wettest winters. And then in the summer, of course, what happens is, what causes these are, what the forecasters call ridges and troughs, which are just basically, big mounds of hot sinking air, which causes the dry weather. And then the troughs are these valleys where the air is cool and rising, and that causes, the precipitation. And so today, it's just a kind of just a general band of high pressure, which is, the jet stream, what they call the storm track, is well to our north, and it's just kind of arching up through Canada. So we're just kind of in this, under this broad zone of high pressure. But what's been happening a lot this summer is that there's a very weak trough in this high pressure, and that can happen. You can actually have, like, the pattern, you have to see it on a map, but there's a big, kind of U-shaped trough over the West Coast, which that trough is going to deepen. And so what that does is that increases the marine layer and feeds the Delta breeze. And that's why we're getting this kind of this hazy, it's not terribly humid, but it's more humid, a little bit more humid than usual today. In fact, what is the dew point now? Like 52 degrees? I mean, that's kind of high, a little bit on the high side.
Based on what you've taught us, yeah.
And you'll notice that the visibility today isn't very good. That's water vapor. That is marine air coming in. And, we get this a lot in the summer where, there's higher surface pressure to the west, and that pushes the marine air up the valley and, creates those relatively cooling breezes in the afternoon, whereas, when it's really hot, we get the dry north wind that comes down.
One thing that occurs to me is that everybody talks about the weather, but very few people have the real facts to talk about it knowledgeably. And you have done a lot of research. Is it changing in any demonstrable way?
No.
In Redding? Not global warming, but in the North State?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so we just have a kind of a weather amnesia. People who think, gosh, it never snowed when I was a kid, or it snowed a lot more when I was a kid than it does now. They're just victims of selective memory, basically.
Yeah, we all have selective memory.
Why is that? Why can't we remember the weather from year to year? Every year I say it wasn't like this last year, and I mean, it had to have been. I just sort of, it's like new every year.
Well, yeah, it's precisely the same reason why every time, daylight savings time ends, we're like, oh, my God, it's dark. Well, what the heck? It's dark at 5 o'clock. What's going on? it happens every single year, and it's a shock.
It is.
And the weather is the same. It's always the same, and yet it's different. I mean, that sounds kind of like it sounds weird, but it's true. And so when it hits you, it's always a new experience, but it's the same. It's the same thing that might have hit, 5 years ago. But as soon as it's gone, you don't really remember it unless it's just extraordinary. And there are extraordinary events, from time to time. Like there was 1968, it snowed, 2 feet or something in Redding, 3 feet, the roofs were collapsing. Something like that doesn't come along very often.
But from an average perspective, the weather has not changed in any meaningful way in the last 30 or 40 years in the North State, or 50 years or 60 years.
Yeah, if you go long enough, you're going to have an extraordinary event. Like just recently, we set our record low. So, yeah, it can change.
Cool.
Could you tell us what the most amount of rain we've ever had in one 24-hour period and also the wettest season we've had?
Well, the most amount of rain is 7.3 inches in December of 1964, and I wasn't around for that. It must have been pretty extraordinary. The most amount of rainfall in one season, I believe, officially, was 66 inches during the El Nino winter of 1982-83. And Shasta Lake that year got 103 inches. So that was kind of the spread. There was a lot of rain everywhere, but still, the north part of the metro area got significantly more than the southern part.
Wow, that was a tough year for those of us who like it dry. I remember that year. Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you've been listening to our interview with Scott Mobley of the Record Searchlight, and we'll be back right after these messages.
We are speaking with Mr. Edgar Lumpf, universally recognized as the world's most timid man, winner of the Nobel Prize for Cowardice. Mr. Lumpf.
What's that?
That's a microphone, sir.
I don't want to touch it. I'm afraid of electricity.
I'll hold it for you.
Not too close.
Mr. Lumpf, as the world's most timid man, when is the last time you were out of your house?
Last month, for my regular dental checkup.
Mr. Lumpf, I find that hard to believe. Of the 90 million Americans afraid to go to the dentist, you have to be number one.
But Dr. William Farrell is my dentist. He offers sedation dentistry, so I don't really know what he does. I'm afraid to ask. But look at these.
Mr. Lumpf, you have a charming, gleaming smile.
All thanks to Dr. William Farrell and his wonderful staff.
And as winner of the Cowardice Award, you have a lot more to smile about.
I haven't picked it up yet. I'm afraid of flying. And Norwegians?
Take it from Mr. Lumpf, the world's most timid man. You don't have to conquer your fear of dentistry. Dr. William Farrell will do that for you. Visit PaloCedroDentistry.com or call 547-5757.
Is something in your life challenging you? Do you have the motivation to create a change? Where does that come from? What inspires you? I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, your host for the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, streaming live from KCNR1460.com. And I'm always working hard to find that one motivating piece of information to help you make the changes you so desire. Wake up to your life. Tune in to the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, 11 to noon. We talk about everything important: your health, thoughts, beliefs, relationships, sex, love, struggles, and triumphs. Nothing is off limits. Your stories are welcomed. Every Saturday, 11 to noon, the Conscious Living Show, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Hey, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're talking bicycling now here with Scott Mobley of the Record Searchlight. Our guest co-host is Mark Beecham, and Scott, you are known around town for being the guy on his bicycle commuting in all sorts of weather, temperatures, doesn't really matter, that you're pretty durable, and your colleagues are always impressed by your drive. And how did you start commuting on your bicycle?
Well, it was kind of an accident, actually. I was doing a story about air pollution, and I happened to talk to John Strahan at the air quality management district, and we were talking about cold starts to the car, and he said, "Oh, you know, every time you start your car, I mean, that has a lot more ozone." And at the time, I was living less than a mile from the paper, the newspaper office, and I said, well, what the heck? I'm going to ride my bike. I'm not going to cold start my car and drive it, 3 minutes to the paper and add to the ozone problem. And so that's when I started commuting.
And then what did you find? You then moved, a little further away. So
yeah.
And you didn't give up the bicycling.
Didn't give up the bicycling, no.
Okay, so how far is your commute now?
Well, depending on which route I take, it's maybe anywhere from 4 to 6 miles, and so I tend to take, I probably should do this in reverse, but I take the longer route when I'm on my way to work and the shorter route on my way home. But I would say I have a modest, 10-mile round trip.
And then you have found routes through Reading that you think are pretty darn safe, or how did you choose your route? I mean, I hear that you're coming from Parkview, across the Sundial Bridge, up Sulphur Creek Hill, Twin View. I mean, that seems like that's pretty smart.
It's not a bad route. I have tried other routes, but knock on wood, it feels safe to me. There are bike lanes pretty much the entire way, either bike lanes or trails, like the Sacramento River Trail. I take that a bit of the way. And then there's a nice bike lane along North Market Street. It's not until you get past Lake Boulevard. Well, no, Twin View. Once you hit Twin View, that's, then you're there's that kind of hairy stretch in there. But I've been pretty lucky. I haven't, the motorists have been pretty forgiving going through there.
Would you say that Reading is a fairly bike-friendly town or not?
Well, in terms of the motorists, I know it has a reputation of being bicycle-unfriendly, but again, knock on wood, the motorists appreciate it when you stop at stop signs, when you stop at stop lights, when you follow the law, when you ride down the right side of the road. In fact, this has happened many, many times. It's like the motorists don't expect you to stop, and they're like stunned when you do. And then they'll wave you through. They're like, oh, even though they got there first, they'll say, oh, you just come on through.
Wow.
And they're real cool. Now, because they're used to seeing people riding down the wrong side of the road, they're used to seeing people just blow through stop signs like they're not there, blow through stop lights, just randomly darting into the middle of the road, you know, all kinds of erratic behavior. They're very, very defensive. And so I think they appreciate it when the cyclist follows the vehicle code, you know, and the vehicle code does apply to cyclists.
Would you say that the majority of accidents between automobiles and bicyclists are the bicyclists' fault?
Unfortunately, from what I've seen from my research, I'd have to say yes. The majority of wrecks in this town, at least in the last 5 years, collisions between motorists and bicyclists are the fault of the bicyclists, and it's usually because they're riding down the wrong side of the road.
The wrong side of the road.
So maybe what we can do today is help people really get clear that they have to go the direction the car is going, right? So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, you know, you can't just be like a Brownian particle in space and just kind of freely circulate through traffic. You know, you're a vehicle. You've got to follow... You've got to act like a vehicle. You have to observe all the laws that apply to cars. Now, I will tell you that as a cyclist, it's very frustrating when you get to an intersection and the light is red and you dutifully stop and the light doesn't see you and you're the only vehicle in that lane and you have to wait for a car to come rescue you and escort you through the intersection. And I will say that there are times when, you know, I'm not going to wait all day for the light to, you
right.
know, for a car to come along and help me out. And so if it's safe, I'll go. But that's, you know, I wouldn't advocate doing that, even though I do it sometimes.
That's hilarious. Well, we have a question from a caller. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, Alana. And good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to say, Alana, save your egg. I've tried it twice in the heat of a day. I've yet to get the white even to start to cook. And as far as riding bikes, I just wanted to say I'm glad school is starting maybe, but I have come so close to hitting people on their bikes who are not following the laws, and they're just going in and around traffic and against red lights. And, you know, Scott, thank you for bringing it to people's attention to be careful out there. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you. Gosh, I appreciate that.
Alana, I must say, you're shaming me into call because I email Carl and Linda because I don't have the guts to talk, but I can't email you, so you're making me talk, so hats off to
you. Oh, well, I'm glad we made you call, and that you're talking to Trudy, just so you know. Trudy,
I am so sorry, Trudy. Oh, now that's embarrassing.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You know, we have these shows all lined up to confuse everyone, and it's working good.
So, well, there you go.
But I'm really glad.
Target,
I do know that, you know, bike safety, it's such a big deal, and I don't think I realized until today that the bicyclists were so erratic, so this is really good to hear. Scott,
yeah,
what else?
They're getting crazy out
there,
and it's just so dangerous. Anyway,
all right.
Sorry about that, Trudy.
That's okay. Thank you, Sharon, for the call.
All righty, bye.
And then, Scott, what roads would you suggest people just steer clear of? I mean, I'm sure there are just some crazy streets out there.
Well, I don't think there's any street that's too dangerous as long as you ride safely. There are some. I'm trying to think. I can't say.
Oh, well,
what about Placer, out to like Igo? That strikes me as a really dangerous stretch of road because there's practically no bike lane out there, and it's potentially very dangerous. I think as there are blind curves and people are driving 40, 50, 60, 55 miles an hour on that road.
Yeah, I don't go out there. I tend to stay in town, or if I go out, I go out 299, and even that's a bit hairy as you get up towards Whiskey Town. But yeah, I agree. Yeah, Placer, but people do it. People do it a lot.
I've had a couple of close calls where my horse is out in Happy Valley, which means I take Placer out, and then I'm kind of head to Igo, and then I cut across Cloverdale, and coming around a blind curve. You know, there might be two bicyclists together on the road,
yeah,
kind of trying to do that side-by-side thing,
yeah.
And it's scary to me.
Yeah.
So, hey, looks like we're closing the show down here, and we have our producer, Jim, and we have our new producer, who's in training, Chandler. I want to thank both of you today, and I want to thank Mark Beecham and Scott Mobley. So,
thanks.
Nice having you, and we'll be here next week. All right.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, clearly News Talk Radio for Reading. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Karen Riegel. Elena Kagan officially sworn in as our nation's next Supreme Court justice. She is only the fourth woman to sit on that bench.
I, Elena Kagan, do solemnly swear.
I, Elena Kagan, do solemnly swear
that I will administer justice without respect to persons.
That I will administer justice without respect to persons.
And do
Kagan saying yesterday her appointment is a sacred one, saying it is an honor but also an obligation to uphold the rule of law. Kagan took the oath twice today. She did so in a private ceremony and then in a public one before the public and reporters. 10 members of a non-profit Christian medical team, including 6 Americans, gunned down in Afghanistan. The Taliban says those workers were spies trying to convert Afghans.
In Afghanistan, trying to convert people away from Islam is a capital offense. It's a very, very dangerous thing to do, and something which I know the people that I know.